morning. In this class this morning, we're covering the topic, Be Not Conformed. I am going to read from the teacher assignment. This is the introduction for all of the teachers, so this will be a good kickoff to our week. This is a summary of the week that was sent out to all the teachers. The intent of the study is to remind us that we are in the world, but not of the world. Our lives should not conform to the world or the trends of society. And even though we may have different gifts, we all have the responsibility to be transformed, to serve with zeal, to live peaceably with all men, to be hospitable, to submit to the governing authorities, and to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So that'll give you a good sense of the topics that we have prepared for you this week. And we are going to kick off with Romans 12 and 2. And from that summary, the specific part that applies to our class this morning reads, our lives should not conform to the world or the trends of society. And even though we may have different gifts, we all have the responsibility to be transformed. So that's our assignment for this morning. We look at Romans 12 and 2. I'm going to read it four times from four different versions. And if you would, focus on four things in each of these readings. Listen for be not conformed. You'll find that in all of the translations. Listen for be transformed. Listen for the concept of renewal or renewing of the mind. And listen for the concept of proving what is the will of God. In the English Standard Version, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In the New King James Version, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the NIV, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Young's literal translation, be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you're proving what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect. So all of those are very similar with some good differences that help us to understand. And if you look at the overall structure of the verse, it's broken up into two parts. We've got be not conformed, and then we have rather be transformed. And on the end of rather be transformed, we have two prepositional phrases. By the renewing in your mind, that's what causes and sustains the transformation. And to prove what is the will of God, that is the result of the transformation. So that's the overall structure of the verse that we'll be looking at. I will share with you my agenda so that you always know where we are and where we're going. I'm going to start with an introduction to the verse, and we're going to look at all four of those concepts in brief. So I'll talk about conforming, transforming, renewing, and proving. Those are the four key concepts of the verse, so we'll just go over those, all four of those briefly. Then I have quite a bit of material on the futility and the foolishness of conforming, and then quite a bit of behavior as well on the opposite side, the transforming, becoming a new creature, being set apart. And then we'll close with some specifics. Jerry mentioned like to get into specifics, so we'll do that at the end, and we'll look at a contrast in behavior between someone that is conforming to the world and someone that is transforming by the renewal of their mind. So that is the agenda, and we'll dive right in to our introduction. So we're going to look at those four concepts in brief. We'll look at conforming, transforming, renewing, and proving. So let's start with conforming. The Greek word here means to conform to the same pattern, figuratively, or to conform to or fashion yourself according to. And that's why you'll see the translators of the New International Version inserted the word pattern into the verse, and that matches that definition. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And I think we all understand what the word conform means, but it's good to reflect and to get that loaded into your mind and to think about it a little bit. Conforming is all about matching patterns. It's taking something and it's adapting its shape to match a pattern. In this case, the something that we're adapting to the pattern is people. It's us. That's what we're talking about. Conforming is fitting in. It's matching what others are doing. It's thinking what others are thinking, or sometimes it's just pretending to think what others are thinking. It's trying to be the same as everyone else. It's following trends. It's matching styles. That's conforming. Think about it in the fashion world. When we think about conforming is just matching a pattern. And there's few things in life that have more to do with matching patterns than fashion. So we'll talk a little bit about fashion. When the campout started, I guess 35 years ago, the fashion for my age group was tank tops, jean shorts, and white socks with colored bands at the top. I think in this class, more than any other, we'll remember those socks. I see Tad, maybe not Tad, but everyone else might remember those socks. A similar outfit today at the campout would stick out and draw attention, but in the 80s, no one would look twice or think anything about that outfit. And that's what we know as fashion. It doesn't make sense, but we do understand it. It's a concept that we know. Fashion is about matching a pattern. Tight-rolled jeans, tie-dyed shirts, pleated pants, flat-fronted pants, high tops, boat shoes, penny loafers, bootcut jeans, bell bottoms, baggy jeans, skinny jeans. It's always changing. Conforming in fashion is always about changing to match the currently established pattern. And we see that in the way that we talk about fashion. We use the word matching when it comes to dressing. Maybe you've had some last-minute fashion adjustments as you're about to leave the house, and you're told you're not matching, which is another way to say you're not conforming. And you can try that out next time. You can ask, instead of asking, do these pants match, you can say, do these pants conform? That's another way of asking the same question. Conforming is fitting in. It's being the same. It's matching. And when you think of conforming, it can help to think of that. Think of just matching a pattern. When we look at Romans 12 and 2, though, we have to ask, well, what is the pattern that we're talking about? You might be thinking, if Romans 12, 2 is about not matching, that you've got a good head start. But we're talking about not fitting in. We're talking about not being the same. We're talking about not matching. We're talking about not following trends. But we're not necessarily talking about fashion. What we're talking about is even greater scope. We're talking about the world. Do not be conformed to the world. In those four different translations, three of them say the world. The NIV says the pattern of this world. And Young's Literal says do not be conformed to this age, which helps and gives us another word to think about. When we think about the word age, it has an element of time involved in it. And when we think about our world and when we think about matching the world, there's an element of time in that as well. So when Paul writes, do not be conformed to the world, what does he mean? It's a big term, after all, and the world is a big place. But our world is just our environment. For Paul's readers, the world was first century Rome. And that's why Young's Literal, you'll see the word age. That was the age that his readers lived in. So the world is a combination of our time and our place. It's the culture that we live in. It's the people that we see. It's the locations that we frequent. And it's different environments for different people. We do share some elements. We're all impacted by the culture of the United States. We all live in the same time, in the same age, but we have some elements in our worlds that are different. Some of us work in offices. Some of us work in schools. Some of us work in hospitals. Some of us are Midwesterners. Some are on the East Coast or the West Coast. So we share some elements in our world, and some are different. But I think we have more in common than we don't. So to sum it up, the world, when we think about the world and conforming to the world, we're just talking about our environment. It's a combination of the times, the culture, the routine, and the people that we interact with. As we continue loading up the basic structure of this verse, let's look at the contrast, which is transforming. The Greek word here comes from meta and morphou, and means literally or figuratively metamorphosis. So that's where we get that English word metamorphosis. It comes from the Greek words meta and morphou, and that's the word that we have here in our text. The English word metamorphosis can mean in an insect or in an amphibian, the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form. Or it can mean a change of the form of or nature of a thing or a person into a completely different form, either by natural or by supernatural means. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is supernatural. There's also a novella by Franz Kafka called Metamorphosis, and if it helps, that is about a traveling salesman that transforms into an insect. But the first two are probably better. We've got the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form, and then the change of the nature of a thing into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. So let's take that second definition and look at an example from nature. We thought about fashion for conforming. Let's look at biology for transforming. There's two types of biological transformation. There's incomplete or complete metamorphosis, and the two insects that you can think of for those two are the grasshopper and the butterfly. Pretty good chance that you'll see both of those insects this week at the campout. The grasshopper goes through what is called an incomplete metamorphosis. It starts as an egg, it moves to a nymph, and then it goes to an adult. And if you looked at the nymph grasshopper and if you looked at the adult grasshopper, they look very much the same. So that's called an incomplete metamorphosis. The butterfly undergoes what biologists refer to as a complete metamorphosis. It starts as an egg, then it goes to a larva, that's what we know as a caterpillar, then it goes into a pupa, and then it goes into an adult. And when you look at the adult butterfly, it looks nothing like the larval caterpillar. So as Christians, that's the kind of transformation that we're shooting for. We're shooting for the complete metamorphosis. If you received the campout flyer, you'll see the artwork on that. Verity Woody does the artwork for us every year. And the artwork on this flyer was a butterfly. And that's where that came from, that idea of complete metamorphosis from biology. I'll tell you a little bit about the monarch butterfly and its four stages. It starts as an egg. Monarch butterflies lay their eggs on milkweed plants. That is the only plant that monarch caterpillars eat, so that is the only plant where monarch butterflies lay their eggs. And the eggs lay on the leaf of the milkweed plant for 3 to 5 days, and then they hatch, and out comes the caterpillar that begins the larval stage, which can last up to a couple of weeks. And that's what we know as caterpillars. You've seen monarch caterpillars probably before. They're green, they're about that long, they're nice and fat. And while it is a caterpillar, it just eats, and it eats, and it eats, and it eats, and it gets bigger, and it sheds its skin, which is called molting, and it grows. Caterpillar skins don't grow while the animal grows, so what God has designed for the caterpillar is the caterpillar just sheds its old skin and it has a new skin ready to go underneath it. That's what's called molting. That happens during the larval stage. Then the caterpillar enters the chrysalis stage. This lasts about a couple of weeks as well. And while it may look like it's a period of inactivity, and maybe the caterpillar is relaxing or just hanging out, it's actually a very active time in the caterpillar's life, and it's changing, it's transforming, it's going through a metamorphosis. Its wings form, its antenna form, its mouth completely transforms from a mouth that is designed for chewing leaves to a mouth that is designed for sucking and for getting nectar out of plants. So it's a complete transformation, and when the caterpillar transforms into the butterfly, it's a little mini miracle that God performs millions of times every year, and the butterfly is completely unrecognizable as the caterpillar that went in. So let's contrast those two then. Conforming, which is fitting in, it's matching a pattern, it's being the same, with transforming, which is metamorphosis, changing from one type of creature to another type of creature. When we contrast the two, we see that conforming is the weaker activity. It's adopting an externally defined shape. It's being influenced by exterior factors. As the pattern of the world changes, the conformer also changes. On the other hand, transformation is not a weak activity. That is an activity of power. The butterfly uses its energy from its internal food sources to fuel a complete transformation from one creature to another. Only someone that knew that caterpillars turn into butterflies would ever look at a butterfly and know that it came from the caterpillar and that the two creatures are the same. The butterfly is not conforming to a pattern from the outside world. It's transforming to match an image that was put into its DNA by its creator. And that's what we're after as Christians. We're transforming to meet an image that was put into us by our creator. And the contrast between the two is what Paul writes of to the Romans. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Remember when we diagrammed the sentence, we ended up with two prepositional phrases. We've got "be not conformed," and then we have "rather be transformed," and then we've got two prepositional phrases coming off the end of that. We've got "by the renewing of your mind," which is what causes and fuels the transformation, and then we have "to prove what is the will of God." So let's look at that first one and look at renewing and renewal. And we'll go back to the butterfly. And we'll look at a different stage. So instead of looking at the work that happens during the chrysalis stage, let's look at the larval stage and let's look at the phenomenon of molting. In the larval stage, the caterpillar just eats. It just eats milkweed. That's all it does. And it eats and it eats and it eats. And when it is too big for its skin, it grows another skin and then it sheds the old skin. Like the chrysalis stage, the larval stage is also a time of transformation for the caterpillar. It's constantly growing and it's constantly renewing itself. During this stage, the external skin that the caterpillar has doesn't grow. So during this stage, as the caterpillar eats and the caterpillar grows, the skin gets tighter and tighter and tighter. Maybe you've read the book about caterpillars. It's called the Very Hungry Caterpillar. It says on Monday he ate through one apple, but he was still hungry. Tuesday he ate through two pears, but he was still hungry. Wednesday he ate through three plums, but he was still hungry. And I won't spoil it for you if you haven't read it, but it goes on from there. And the solution to that, as God designed it, is molting. The caterpillar grows a brand new skin underneath its old skin. And the new skin is bigger, which may seem a little counterintuitive at first, but the way that works is it's just scrunched up. So the old skin is underneath the new skin, and it's scrunched up a little bit. And then when the new, larger skin is ready, the old skin is discarded, and the new skin is ready to go. It flattens out. It looks good. And the caterpillar will do that process 4 to 5 times during those 2 weeks while it's growing. So we can learn a lot about renewing from the caterpillar. Paul wrote, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The caterpillar uses molting to renew itself again and again and again. 4 to 5 times over those 2 weeks, the caterpillar is completely renewing its skin. It sheds the old self and it replaces it entirely with the new self. Like the butterfly's transformation is fueled by internal energy, Christians also, with our renewal, is fueled by internal energy. In our case, it's the Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul is writing about renewal to the Corinthians. And as I read this, see if you think it sounds like the caterpillar. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That sounds like molting. Though our outer self is wasting away, that's the old skin, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's the inner skin that the caterpillar is using all of that milkweed energy to grow. So one more time, contrasting transformation with conforming, thinking about our caterpillar. Conforming can be done with just external appearances, but transforming requires an inner renewal. Conforming is all about the outer self. It's about appearances. It's about perception, matching, fitting in. Transforming is happening on the inside, like the caterpillar growing that new skin. Conforming is matching. It's matching something else. But transforming is using that stored energy to fuel a complete renewal and a complete metamorphosis. I like the molting example, too, because it's not just a one-time event that caterpillars go through. It's ongoing. It's a constant refreshing during the entire larval stage, just like during the entire Christian life. We're constantly refreshing ourselves with that fuel from the Spirit. All right, we have one more prepositional phrase to look at, one more word to look at. We're going to look at proving. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, which we've looked at, by the renewing of your mind. We've looked at renewing, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that can be an easy one to miss when we hit this verse. We see conforming. That's a big topic. We can talk about that a lot. We see transforming. That is also a very big topic. Renewal is a big topic. And then we get to proving, and sometimes maybe we've run out of energy with this verse. But proving is worth a little bit of our time. So let's look at proving. The Greek word here has a couple of meanings. It can mean to test or to scrutinize, or it can mean to recognize as genuine after examination. So those sound very similar, but there is a subtle difference. The first definition, testing or scrutinizing, and then the second definition, to recognize as genuine after examination. So the first definition is all about examining, testing, proving, experimenting, and then the second definition is about drawing conclusions, to recognize as genuine after that testing, after that experimenting. So both of those are good as we think about proving. And for proving, we're going to look at in Ephesians. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter 5. While I was studying the idea of conforming and transforming, I noticed that many of the verses that you'll find on conforming and transforming, as you look into that verse and as you start to look at the verses around it, you'll see they're also about conforming and transforming. And as you look at the verses around those verses, you'll see they're also about conforming and transforming. And before you know it, the one cross-reference that you followed has turned into several verses that are about conforming and transforming. So the way I like to think about that is that, for the purpose of this study at least, if Romans 12 and 2 is our topic sentence, then we have many other essays throughout the scripture that cover that same topic. Most of them are from Paul, but we'll look at one from Peter, and I'll try to do a good job of pointing these out as we find them, so that if you're a note taker, you can get these down. But all of these passages, they cover a variety of themes around conforming and transforming. There's themes like putting to death the old man, kind of like the caterpillar, new creatures, that reminds us of the butterfly, being set apart, being made holy. And then there's many lists of behaviors that contrast conforming with transforming. So we'll look at all of those. And just think of these passages as essays on the theme of Romans 12 and 2. And of course, they're not really independent essays. They're just parts of books and letters where Paul is writing about the same topics. But the first one that I want to look at is in Ephesians. And this essay starts in Ephesians 4:17, and it goes all the way through 5 and 21. So lots of verses on the topic of conforming and transforming. And we're going to hit a lot of them, but right now, all we're after is in the fifth chapter. And remember, what we're after is proving. That's why we came here to Ephesians. We're after what proving means. So Ephesians, and we're going to start in chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So right away, you can see we're still on the same theme. Imitating is another word for conforming. In this case, Paul, though, is talking about conforming to God's pattern, not to the world's pattern. Imitating God's pattern is as an excellent idea as imitating the world's pattern is a bad idea. So that's what Paul's writing about to the Ephesians. And then in verse 3, you can see there's a list of behaviors. First of many, we're going to look at a lot of these. Paul is a list maker, and you can see throughout his letters all kinds of lists. And one thing that Paul likes to do is what we have here, where we have a list of behaviors, and these behaviors would be classified as conforming to the world. So we'll come back later to those lists, but I just want you to see those, because you'll see those all over. And as you look at this list here, you'll probably recognize some behaviors that you would think of as conforming to the world. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, sound like things you've seen, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, I'm sure you've seen that. But those are the good lists. And then Paul writes in verse 7, therefore do not become partners with them, which is another way of saying do not be conformed. So he's talking about the behaviors of the world. He says, do not become partners with them. Instead, in verse 8, walk as children of the light, which is another way to say, but be transformed. So you can see Paul is writing to the Ephesians on the same topic that he was writing to of the Romans. And now we arrive what we're after. Remember, we were looking for proving, and what does it mean to prove the will of God? And we find that in verses 8 through 10. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's in the English Standard Version. The New King James will read, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And that word there, discern, that's the same word that we find in Romans 12 and 2, translated as prove. So now we have three ways to say the same thing from Romans 12 and 2 in the New King James. Proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then here in Ephesians 5 in the New King James, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Or in the ESV, to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So if you remember those two definitions that we got from the Greek word, to test or to scrutinize, that was the first definition, and to recognize as genuine after examination, that was the second definition. And then if you remember the English Standard Translation for Romans 12 and 2, that by testing you may discern. So both of those definitions are good when we think about Romans 12 and 2. By giving up our natural and strong inclination to conform or to fit in, we test God's plan. We examine it. We scrutinize it. We're working through God's plan when we stop conforming and we let His Spirit transform us. And then by letting God's Spirit transform us, by using the power of the Spirit to renew our minds, just like the caterpillar does, we prove God's plan. And as a result of that proving and as a result of that testing, we can see it's genuine. Paul is not saying, do not be conformed to the world and see how that works out for you. He says, no, do not be conformed to the world. find out what the will of the Lord is, and let that transformation prove that the will of the Lord is good and acceptable and perfect. So it's a plan that if we follow it, we can test God's will, and we can see that God's will is good and that it's acceptable and it's perfect. All right, that was my introduction. That was 35 minutes. Day specifically said the invitation is several hours away. That's specifically what he said. No, I think we're good. We're good on time. Now that we've got that loaded up, we've got the introduction going, everyone's got everything loaded in their minds. Any initial comments that anyone would like to make? Okay, good. Let's keep going then. Just by way of summary, let's think about the structure of the verse one more time. We've got two halves, be not conformed, rather be transformed, and then hanging on the end of transform, we've got those two prepositions. By the renewing of your mind, that's what causes and sustains the transformation, and we've got to prove what is the will of God. That's the result of being transformed. Conforming is about fitting in. It's about matching what others are doing. It's about thinking what others are thinking, or at least pretending to think what others are thinking. It's about trying to be the same. Conforming is following trends, and it's matching styles. When you think of conforming, think of matching. Transforming, on the other hand, is the more powerful activity. While conforming is being influenced by external factors, transforming is being influenced by an internal fuel, in our case, the Spirit. When we're conforming, as the pattern of the world changes, we also have to change. The conformer has to change. The butterfly, on the other hand, when we look at that example, transforms using that internal fuel to completely change from one creature to another. That biological term that we looked at, complete metamorphosis. For renewing, we looked at the caterpillar in the larval stage and the molting that God has designed for the caterpillar to renew itself and to support its growth through that larval stage. It sheds the old self and it replaces it entirely with a new skin 4 to 5 times during that stage. And we looked at 2 Corinthians 4:16, which talks about the caterpillar. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And then for proving, we looked at those two definitions, to test or to scrutinize, and then after that testing and after that scrutiny, to recognize as genuine. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, that is our introduction. We're going to get into some specifics on conforming now, and we're going to be after specifically the futility of conforming and the foolishness of conforming. After that, I have material on transforming, and then after that, to finish, we'll get into some specifics and look at the contrast of behavior between someone that is conforming and someone that is transforming. So, as we dive into the futility of conforming, just a peek of how this is organized, we're going to talk about that word futility and the word foolishness, how those relate to conforming. We're going to look again at this essay in Ephesians 4:17 through 5 and 21. We're going to talk about the pattern of the world a little bit more. I hit that in the introduction, but a little deeper dive into the pattern of the world. And then we're going to look at the children of Israel for some good and some bad examples of transforming rather than conforming. All right, so let's go back to that essay in Ephesians. This is in, the whole essay is Ephesians 4:17 through 5 and 21. And a general overview of this passage, if I was going to sum it up, which I did. Paul is writing to the Ephesians not to be futile, like the Gentiles, but rather put off the old self and put on the new self. He encourages them to avoid sexual immorality and foolishness. That's what this passage is all about. And let's look just quickly at the passages we covered in chapter 5, just to load those up. Remember when we were there, we were hunting what proving is, and we looked at chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We looked at verses 3 and 4 and 5, which is the list of behaviors. We looked at verse 7, which says, do not become partners with them, or in other words, do not be conformed. And then we looked at verses 8 and 10, which is where we got proving, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. This time, we're going to start way back in chapter 4 and with verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. And that's the phrase we're after, futility of their minds. Paul is encouraging the Ephesians to not conform to the pattern of behavior that the Gentiles were exhibiting. He says you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. So he's asking them to stop conforming. Well, what were the Gentiles doing? Paul writes, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That's the world that the Ephesians were living in. It was a world of futility. It was a world of sensuality and impurity and foolishness. So Paul tells them to stop doing that and instead be transformed. That's in verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self. So you probably see lots of themes there that we've been hitting on. It's the same message as Romans 12 and 2. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner. Stop conforming to your former life. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what specifically were the Gentiles doing that was so futile and was so foolish? Well, that's what we have in that list there in the 5th chapter and the 3rd verse. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking. Those behaviors are the result of the futility of conforming. So Paul is telling the Ephesians to stop conforming. Stop being foolish. He even says in 5 and 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Peter says the same thing in his first letter, 1 Peter 1:18. Peter writes, you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. And Paul writes the same to Titus, for we once ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. So this keeps coming up, this idea of the past life being foolish. And the question we're after is, well, what makes it so foolish to conform to the past life? Before answering that question, let's look at another example of conforming. Talked about fashion and matching. And that example, conforming, is matching your clothing to the pattern of what's accepted in the fashion world. For example, I learned recently that tracksuits are fashionable again after a long period of being unfashionable. Maybe you didn't know that. Another visual example, other than fashion, is liquids. So we'll go back to your physical science class. I don't know how long it's been. For most of us, it's been a while since we did physical science in school. But it may have been recent, and maybe you remember the difference between liquids and solids. Think about that for a little bit. What makes a liquid different than a solid? The difference is conformity. Liquids conform to match the pattern of their container. If you have water in a glass, the water is shaped like the glass. If you have milk in a bowl, the milk is shaped like the bowl. Conforming is similar. Someone that is conforming to match the pattern of the world is changing their shape to match the pattern of the world. When you pour water from one container to another, the water conforms to the shape of the new container. If you have water in a bottle and you squeeze the bottle to give it a new shape, the water in the bottle will conform to match that new shape. A brick, on the other hand, that you put in a bowl will still be brick-shaped. So that's the difference between solids and liquids. In this example, the container is the environment, it's the world, and the liquid is someone that is conforming to that container or that environment. So with that example in mind, think about the pattern of the world. Does it stay constant, or does it change like a water bottle that's being squeezed, or maybe a Capri Sun that's being squeezed? What does the pattern of the world look like? Well, it depends. It's not constant. It changes like that water bottle. So someone conforming to that pattern would be changing to match that pattern. Just like a liquid changes to adopt the new shape of its container, if you're conforming to the pattern of this world, you will also be changing to match the pattern of your container or your world. Thinking of our other example, fashion. Tracksuits were fashionable, then they weren't, and now they're coming back. Going back further, it used to be fashionable for men to wear wigs. That's no longer the fashion. Going back even further, if you go to the Louvre in Paris, there's a gigantic floor-to-ceiling painting of Louis XIV, and you can walk right up to it, and you can see in the painting he is wearing bright red high heels. That used to be the fashion, but it no longer is. It changes. Fashion is changing all of the time, just like the pattern of the world is changing. So you can start to see the problem. If you're conforming to the world, it has to mean not being constant. It has to mean always changing. Just like we all change our fashion with the changing fashion, we'd always be changing our opinions with the changing opinions of the world. And that's what's foolish. That's why Paul and Peter were telling their readers to get away from the foolishness of conformity. Remember who built his house on the sand? That was the foolish man. Conforming to a world that doesn't remain constant is just like building a house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So if we recognize truth as a constant, which I think we all do, if we recognize God's law as a constant, which I think we all do, then changing as the world changes is a contradiction to that. An individual that is conforming to the world will naturally seek to be in the majority. That doesn't mean that you'll always have the wrong perspective on everything, but it does mean you'll never have the right perspective on everything. You'll have the perspective of most people. And anyone can tell you, in the church or out, that having the perspective of most people is not generally a guarantee of success. We can look at how this works just using one example. Let's look at fornication. Over the last half century, the pattern of our age has changed with regard to fornication. Sex before marriage, living together before marriage, today are those things are accepted. And not only are they accepted, they are celebrated. It's a big episode in a sitcom where two characters decide to move in together. That's considered a big life milestone that's worth celebrating. An individual that is conforming to the world would adopt that perspective. It's not their perspective, it's the world's. And they are conforming to it. So think about your perspectives and the way that you think about things. Are they really your perspectives, or are you conforming to the world's perspective and the pattern of the age? 50 years ago, conforming would have meant not approving of people having sex before marriage in general, and it would have meant not approving of people that are moving in together. So today, and today it means approving. So you can see it's not constant. Like a liquid adopting the shape of a changing container, or a fop that's constantly changing fashion with the seasons, you have to change and you have to be adaptable. If you're conforming to the viewpoint of most in the world on the subject of fornication, then you are misaligned with God. God condemns sex before marriage, 1 Corinthians 7 and 2. That being said, conforming to the world is not a guarantee that you'll end up misaligned with God. The world and the thoughts of the world, what's popular, what's accepted, all of that changes over time. And it changes in different cultures. It changes with different locations and different groups. There are still cultures in the world today that do not look favorably on fornication and do not look favorably on sex before marriage. It's just not our culture. Sometimes the world is more closely aligned with God, and sometimes it's further apart. And it's not always changing to be misaligned with God. Our tendency is to think that the pattern of the world is always moving further away from God, and that things are always getting worse. Those are the things that grab our attention. Those are the things that frustrate us. Those are the things that we don't like to see. So sometimes we tend to focus on those. But logically, that doesn't work. The world, if the world was always moving further away from God, then we would have to be further apart from God now than at any time in history. And I don't know that we could say that. One example, treatment of special needs children in school. This is something that's very different in the world today than when I was in school. And it's different in a good way. When I was in school, special needs children were mocked. They were ridiculed. No one helped them. Everyone liked to laugh at them and poke fun at them. The behavior I see where my kids go to school, which is the same school, is very different. Special needs children in that school are celebrated, they're encouraged, the class gets behind them, they help them, they celebrate their successes, and so it's better in general. That is an example where the pattern of the world has changed to be more closely aligned with God. And there's other examples too. You can go way back into history and look at things like indulgences, which we don't do anymore. We can look at slavery, racial treatment in general. So it's not always that the world is moving away from God. So we should neither always conform with the world, nor should we always go out of our way to do the opposite of the world. What we should do is what Paul writes to the Romans, not be shaped by the world. Don't accept the popular opinion on everything. Accept the popular opinions that match with God's law and reject the popular opinions that don't match with God's law. And that's the contrast between liquids and rock. The liquid is accepting all of the popular opinions. Give me all the opinions. I like all of the opinions. The rock does not. The rock is shaped by God's law. So if you're conforming to the world, you won't always have the wrong perspective on everything, but you'll never have the right perspective on everything, and that's the foolishness. So that's what Paul writes to the Romans. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. Don't be shaped by the container that you're in. Be strong, like a brick. Build on something strong, like the wise man. Okay, one more thing to look at to make this point about conforming to the world and foolishness. Let's look at the children of Israel. Another essay, this is Peter's essay, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 through 18. Peter writes a little essay on being not conformed, but being transformed. In verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That's his be not conformed. verse. And then in verse 18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. So again, there's that word futile. What were the futile ways of their forefathers? Well, Peter's writing to the Jews. What was futile about the forefathers of the Jews? We can look in Ezekiel 11:12 to get that answer. In Ezekiel 11:12, God is pronouncing judgment on Israel, and he tells them, "For you have not walked in my statutes nor obeyed my rules, but have acted according to the rules of the nations that are around you. Their forefathers acted according to the rules of the nations that were around them." They were changing their shape to match the container that they were in. God had created a special nation. He had placed them in the middle of an idolatrous world, and he commanded them to maintain their shape, but they didn't. They adopted the fashion and the patterns of their environment and their worlds, and they were conforming. That was the feudal ways that the people had inherited from their forefathers, conformity. Remember how Israel came up with a king? Where did they get that idea? 1 Samuel 8 and 5, they tell Samuel, "You're old, and your sons do not work in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." They wanted to be like all the nations. They wanted to conform. They wanted to match the pattern, to be like everyone else, to be fashionable, to match. They wanted to be the same. And we know where Israel ended up. That is where they ended up. They ended up the same, just like everyone else, which is where conforming will lead you. And that's the foolishness of conforming. It is tempting to want to be like everyone. But do we want the fate that's reserved for everyone? The nations around Israel were godless. They were idol-worshiping. They were sinful. They were pagan. And by willfully trying to match that pattern for themselves, Israel became the same. When Israel said they wanted a king to be like everyone else, they probably weren't thinking, "We want to worship idols, we want to be godless, we want to be pagan, we want to be sinful." But by taking that first step and making a decision that they wanted to be like the world around them, that they wanted to fit into their environment, they wanted to be fashionable, they wanted to match, that's the road that they were walking on. That's the futility of their forefathers, that by trying to be like everyone else, they lost what made them special. And same option for believers today. You can be like everyone else, but only by giving up what makes you special, like the children of Israel did. It's such a characteristic of the children of Israel that when we find counterexamples, they really stand out. We love to read counterexamples in the Old Testament because they're so spectacular and they're so against the grain. We love to read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that refused to be like everyone else. We love the story of Elijah single-handedly facing down 450 prophets of Baal. But the more common story, and the one that we don't love, is the children of Israel fitting in and conforming and trying to be just like everyone else. All right, that is the material I had on the futility of conforming, and we have 90 seconds if you have any comments or questions. Say it again. I believe that was 11:12, but I'm going to look. Yes, Ezekiel 11:12. Don in the back.
Does the caterpillar have a choice to stay a caterpillar or become a butterfly? Does not, right? So it's automatic. How about our transformation? We have a choice, don't we? But I think we need to get to the point where it becomes automatic, where we get far enough in the process where we don't have the struggles to choose of the world or to choose of God, that we have that pattern is almost automatic for us. And that's all I want to say, but it is very interesting that the caterpillar automatically changes, and we need to get to that process as well, where we don't struggle with the choices. And as we move away from the world, that becomes easier. Yep. Through our days.
Yeah, that's good too. And if you think about the caterpillar, what would you think of a caterpillar that didn't transform? You'd think, well, that's foolish. You could have been a butterfly. Okay, that is 10 o'clock. We will be back in 30 minutes, and we can start with some questions and comments there, too.